Like right now, what you're experiencing is like this super sexy forbidden love in your workplace. But then yeah. you like when she gets all dressed up and you see her when she's all dressed up, she's got the makeup on and she puts on the lipstick. You take her out to a nice dinner and then you're a 23-year-old out at dinner with a 40-year-old.
You're going to feel it, like you're on a date. It will all come
whoosh. Like it'll zoom in and you'll be like, I got to get out of here.
You came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to a special episode of The Crunch, Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, a podcast where we give great advice to those that are sick with love. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and if you have a dating question that you would like the love doctor
to answer, I don't like how you looked at the camera. I don't like it.
Bit.ly. You can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord and ask it in the Dating Corner channel, and we will answer that question. Oh, boy, howdy, will we. Ethan, are you ready to get into our first question, see our first patient?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I was going to say I'm ready. Fire up the insurance billing because I'm about to overcharge, baby. I'm about to make bank on this.
We got our hospital bill, obviously, from the birth.
Yeah, how much? Crazy. How many racks?
I mean, it's obviously, you want the fake number or the number they gave us?
Oh, give me the how much you actually have to pay. Obviously, it doesn't
matter. How much? They said that we have 3K? To pay like around 3K for Phoebe and for Josie, but we're going to work that down because they were like, here's the charge for the IV. I'm like, guys, I was there. She didn't get an IV. Like that's just impossible.
You're one of those. you're an insurance Karen.
Yeah, but it's like we gotta get the explanation of benefits, not the bill, because we gotta see what the insurance actually paid
for. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
With the bill, not the But of course, I am. Yeah, no, absolutely, I'm gonna do that.
If you spend all the time you spend wrangling with, you could make a sale, you know, and you could make the money back.
Fair enough.
So yeah. I don't trade my time for money.
It's a cost benefit analysis. There's ways to do it. You just gotta,
I know my life is,
I read a book about it.
Yeah. My life is like, if I can pay to not think about something, like I was going to fix my fridge cause it's leaking. And I found out that I had to replace the hose that connects to the water dispenser. And I saw that I would have to take off the whole door. And I was like, That's it for me. We've reached the limit of the things that I'm willing to do. I'm calling a technician. And that's it. I don't care that it's $150. I'm not taking the door off the fridge because that's my whole Saturday, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't do that, you know?
Yes.
It's nice, but it also sticks.
Well, okay. So the example for us is they charged us $3,900, I think it was. Yeah. Three something to be in the emergency room.
That is true. I forgot about the emergency room visit. Yeah.
We got charged. We went through the emergency room, and so we got charged for that. But anyway, I was saying that because we had to go back to the hospital today because Josie has RSV.
NAB?
I know. That's the first thing that I thought. I was like, that's funny. That's the name of a Bible translation.
My child has Dewey Rames.
Help, my child has NIV. Can I please send it back? Thank you. Alack, my child doth have King James.
my child in be heaven in the messenger.
The pigeon?
The pigeon. This is the message translation?
Pigeon.
Yeah,
the Hawaii Jesus pigeon. Guys.
The Jesus guys. Yeah. All right.
The message is the one that's like common English. Anyway.
Oh, I thought the message was the... What's the name of the Pigden? Is it just called Pigden Bible? Pigden?
Hawaiian pigeon?
Hawaiian.
Pigden?
Pigden. Hawaiian pidgin.
An English-based Creole language spoken in Hawaii. An estimated 600,000 residents of Hawaii speak it natively, and 400,000 speak it as a second language. Although English and Hawaiian are two official languages, Hawaiian pidgin is spoken by many people in everyday life. It's
the time everything when start had one guy. God, he talk, that's who him. God and that guy, they stick together, and that guy stay God for real kind. That's John chapter 1.
It's great. It's great.
Sorry, I know this is like this is 2016 normie stuff, but it does make me laugh.
The Genesis is called Start and Revelation is called End. Yeah. Love that. No notes. My favorite one is that Acts of the Apostles is called Jesus Guys. It's awesome.
Hold on. Let me just go to Revelation 12 here. Jesus Show. I can't find it. It's impossible to search it by chapter because they all have different names. All right. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast. Or do you want to finish your story about the friggin'?
So I'm not looking forward to that bill because we had to take her to the ER today. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
It'll be great. We'll crowdfund it if we have to. I have a very faithful following on Etsy, everything app that would surely pay for your medical bills. So
we will be okay.
I will take
from
care
John
of
follow up from the 9/11 podcast, asking out a woman who lives 6 hours away in his hometown and is also a teacher. We remember this from the 9/11 episode. Hi guys, I wrote a while ago, and you made some pretty funny jokes about a girl I was trying to ask out and us pooping our diapers during 9/11 as a conversation starter. What were you doing during 9/11? Pooping myself. I want to let you know I finally mustered up the courage to ask her out and call her. Though the time I'll be visiting home she's not around, but she offered to find another time to get together. Oh, she likes you, dude. We talked on the phone for a half hour. Feeling hopeful about the situation, getting really glad I called as opposed to texting, was worried I would turn her off from wanting to go, but it worked out pretty well. Thanks. And then John has a really long question.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy you filled your little poop diaper with love, my man. Good work.
A little diapy with love. All right. Buckle in, folks. We've got a narrative. So go down to that little corner.
Everyone needs to take a class on brevity before they are allowed to submit a question.
I'm just
going to
put this in
ChatGPT
and say summarize.
Summarize this. Smart. We don't have time.
Stall for a second while the...
Father David Michael Moses liked my automatic reply to one of my tweets.
Based.
I know.
Okay. The person sharing this situation is a 23-year-old campus minister and religion teacher at an all-boys high school. They developed a connection with a female coworker in her 40s, who is also a religion teacher. They found her attractive, enjoyed their interactions, which eventually became flirtatious. They realized the inappropriateness of this dynamic, particularly because she is married with 8 children. Hold on, this cannot be true. This cannot be true. Whoa.
You gotta go back. You gotta read the narrative.
Holy cow. They decided to set boundaries. However, the coworker revealed she's going through a divorce, and the person dropped those boundaries, feeling conflicted. The coworker continues to engage in playful and suggestive behavior, including referencing the person's age and sending a photo of a pharaoh costume labeled as sexy pharaoh costume for a school project.
My gosh.
They enjoy her company. They recognize it's inappropriate. They need to have boundaries as she's vulnerable and recently divorced. This person admits to having thought about a potential romantic relationship, but it's clear they don't want to pursue it. Hold on a second. Is this the same guy who just texted us about the 9/11 thing?
Whoa. No, I think it's this is a different person.
No, this is the same person. John, what are you doing? Hold on. I'm going to... Before I rag on you a little bit, we're going to make sure ChatGPT didn't say the wrong thing. John's question. I started a job in an all-boys high school. I'm the campus minister. A coworker of mine is a religion teacher. I connect with her. We're both goofy, devout, Catholic, energetic. I find her attractive. I got her number. And we started texting, and it was fun. We were goofing around and laughing. I realized the relationship was starting to become inappropriate after reading through our text messages. And given the fact that we're coworkers, 20 years apart, she has 8 children, and she's married. I went into work last week knowing I had to take things down a notch. This past Thursday, a student told me that she couldn't believe I was 23. Then she came to my office to confirm that I was talking with a student. Later that day, she texted me saying she tried to find me at the end of the day and apologized for bringing up my age. She told me she had feelings for me. She apologized for her behavior. Yikes. I responded to her by saying, let's try to touch base tomorrow. In our
Let's circle back.
Let's circle back to that in the new year.
Can you imagine a girl tells you she likes you? Let's circle back to that.
Per my last flirtatious text message. I think you look great in that pharaoh costume.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Patrick.
Yes.
I'm drowning.
Oh yeah.
I have two children. Mm-hmm. The one child, he's pooping every day, many yeah. times a day. The other child also is pooping every day, many times
maybe
a day.
Maybe once or twice. Less
it feels
time,
it feels as if I'm drowning in not only the poop of the body, but also the but also the poop of the mind. I can't
poop of the soul.
Yeah. I can't seem to get my head around how to manage my home. I'm trying to work, trying to support my wife. It's very difficult for me.
I think you need to stop trying to hack this on your own and
really?
Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. There are people who this one of the most efficient things you can do is borrow someone else's knowledge.
Yes.
Purchase someone else's knowledge so that you don't have to go through the mistakes they've made. Connor Gallagher, who we've mentioned before, has 16 kids. So he's been around the block with this. He put together a course called The Well-Ordered Family. This is off of the book leads into the course. If you want to go through the course, and he also does one-on-one coaching. You can go through his system and his family management system, and you can skip some of the heartache and the hardships of like trying to figure out how to order your family on your own. If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, Ethan, and order the course, you can use the code CRUNCH25 for 25% off the course, which again is That's a great amazing. Discount code.
That's absolutely huge. I mean, 25% off for a course like this. It's a one-time investment that sets you up for success for you and your family for the rest of your life. And because you listen to us, you're getting 25% off. Go to wellorderedfamily.com. And the code is?
CRUNCH25 for 25% off your course or coaching order.
Thank you to Well Ordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
She told me she was divorced / getting divorced. Different
yes.
things, by the way.
Very different things.
Different things. I was really in shock, so I can't remember. In reflecting in that moment, I realized that I was only placing boundaries because she had a husband. But since she didn't, I didn't set the boundaries.
Whoa.
In hindsight, I needed to set them more.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I saw her at a school event, and she made references to dragging me along to her parish, asking me questions about my life, my family. I have to admit, I did as well.
Oh,
we
you
also
like
discussed
her.
A project. Yeah. We also discussed a project we're assigning to the freshmen, which is for guys to record themselves in groups reenacting a scene from the Exodus.
Oh, boy.
The freshman religion team decided on doing the passage of Pharaoh. She asked me to play the Pharaoh. Later that day, she sent me a photo of a costume she bought, which the costume was called Men's Sexy King Pharaoh of Egypt costume.
Hold on.
I responded, boundaries.
Wait.
Are you looking it up?
I have it right here, and I think it's perfect. Share my screen. Let me just share my screen real quick.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's extremely suggestive.
Men's Sexy King Pharaoh of Egypt costume.
That's extremely suggestive. Holy cow.
This is insane. Can you imagine a 40-year-old woman sending you this picture and be like, I want you to do this. I think I would move to another country. I think if this, I would move to Egypt and actually become a pharaoh if a woman sent this to me. All right, I'll take that off the screen. It's inappropriate.
I knew she was joking, but I responded, boundaries.
I don't think she was.
I don't think she was joking.
I think she wants to see you in the sexy pharaoh costume, buddy.
But today, while the rest of the team was present, they said, yeah, we got the pharaoh costume, but we're exploring other options. I'm thinking at this point I may have to have a conversation with her about setting boundaries. It's for her own good, and she's fragile and recently divorced with 8 kids. But at the same time, I really enjoy spending time with her. I want to be clear. I don't think in any way, shape, or form we should ever be together, but I wouldn't be lying if I said I haven't thought about it.
Oh, my goodness.
So
this should have been
so
our
this guy,
should have been the question on the bonus podcast.
Right? Jeez.
Why did we start with this? Oh,
so
wow.
A while ago, he wrote about a girl he was trying to ask out about... Hey, dude, date the girl who doesn't remember 9/11.
It's not our job to police this guy. If he wants to date the 40-year-old, he can date the 40-year-old. If you don't want to date the 40-year-old, I have a great idea of how to break up with her. You set up 10 plagues. You like put frogs in her office, and then you put like locusts in her office, and then you kill her firstborn child.
Dude, instead of
and then she'll get the message. She'll get the message that you're not interested.
When she sent you the Pharaoh costume, instead of saying boundaries, you should have been like, "Did you take that picture of him back then?"
Oh, yeah, because you're old. Because
you're old.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the Exodus? And then she'll just stop.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Look, she's recently...
What was it like when they opened Tutankhamun's tomb? When you listened to it on the radio? Ma'am.
What was it like?
What was you...
Do you just... One of these days, just ask her, like, do you remember D-Day?
Yeah.
Like, do I know you remember that?
When I was growing up, Rosetta Stone was a technology, like a CD that you could put on your computer. When you were growing up, Rosetta Stone was a rock that they found, that was that Germans found in the desert.
They were working on.
We're not the same. Dude.
You gotta, so like, first of all, like she.
Eight kids?
He's like, I know we shouldn't be together, but I haven't, like, bro, like, she's
how
got
old
eight
are her kids?
One of them, the oldest, is probably like close to your
17
age.
Maybe. I mean, if they got married, I don't know, even they're 23, 24, 16 year old probably is her oldest. So that's like your younger brother.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, maybe you have like a winter fling. maybe you take her out for boba, we shouldn't
be prescriptive. I'm going to be a little prescriptive. I think you should probably place more boundaries than you have
No. Here's what I think. I think you, the minute you go out on a date with this woman, you'll realize how freaking weird it is, and you'll never want to do it again.
That's probably
like,
true.
Right now, what you're experiencing is like this super sexy forbidden love in your workplace. But then you like, when she gets all dressed up and you see her when she's all dressed up, she's got the makeup on, she puts on the lipstick, you take her out to a nice dinner, and then you're a 23-year-old out at dinner with a 40-year-old.
You're gonna feel like you're on a
date. It will all come whoosh, like it'll zoom in, and you'll be like, I gotta get out of here.
And she like takes a call from one of her kids, and she's like, just put the pizza in the oven, honey. And you're just like, she's like in mom mode, and you're like, I don't even have a 401k yet. Like you're just like in such different places in life.
You like reach over. You like both your hands both graze the breadbasket at the same time. You see all the veins in her old gnarled hand, and you're like, oh no,
she's only 40. Well, look, it's
you see a little hair on her upper lip.
Age different aside, you're an adult. You're an adult.
You can do whatever you want.
I hate to play this card, but like, let's say things go great.
Yeah.
Do you want to all of a sudden have eight kids?
This guy's kind of on the fast track. He's living life in the fast lane. He's like, let me skip all that.
In Sims, when you marry someone who's super rich and now you have all the money.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I'm just skipping to the eight kids part.
Yeah.
Man.
He watched a YouTube video on double speed. He skipped over. You don't have to. This is not, you know, you wouldn't be writing this question if you didn't know, you know, like if, gosh, can you imagine? Catholic schools are already gossipy. Can you imagine the tea that would be getting spilled? The students, dude, your life would be hell. The students would know. They would know. They know that you're hooking up with the 40-year-old divorcee, and they will talk about it behind your back. And they will not respect you. And then you'll have to quit your job anyway. So it's just like, and then she's going to become clingy. She's going to like want things from you. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because she's like a woman and that's just how women are. It's like, you are imagining this scenario where you get like your life as it exists now with the perk of like this forbidden lover. But like what's actually going to happen is she's going to want to bring you into her family life with all of that entails, you know? Maybe there's a reason she's flirting with a 23-year-old and is getting a divorce. You ever think about that?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
You ever think about maybe there's a deeper issue with this woman?
Her life is unraveling.
She's deeply unstable right now.
Her life is unraveling. Whether the instability came prior or after.
Yeah.
I think she's not in the right place, and so she's not making the right decisions.
Right.
She's not, you know, you gotta be the adult, unfortunately, here. And like, I think you need to set more boundaries. Like, I think you need to get a new cell phone. I think you need to move.
I don't
I don't think this is salvageable.
I don't think you have to move.
Oh, and Patrick says move, all of a sudden it's the wrong thing.
No, it's like, I don't think you need to deploy the nuclear option yet. I mean, she's not coming. Yeah, when she starts coming to your house at night and like with the boombox over her head, maybe then it's time to consider a relocation strategy. But
you're like picturing. I do want to say, like, this age difference is too much. I think that age difference has crossed a line.
I don't think the age difference is the problem. The problem is just the stark difference in phase of life. I don't think it's a good idea, but maybe a 23-year-old guy and a 40-year-old woman, if she was like single and didn't have any kids, maybe. But like, I don't know why you would want to do that. But like, the fact that she has 8 children and you are 23, what are you gonna? Do you know anything about preparing dinner? Have you ever done a bedtime routine? Have you ever given an allowance?
Imagine all of a sudden being in short day. Now, as a 27-year-old man, like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I can't even make that many peanut butter. You're like, I only had one loaf of bread. Shit.
Have you ever refilled the propane tank for to grill? You know, like, this is your job now.
This is your life.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You're not ready for this.
Imagine going to the pound and adopting all of the dogs. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
That's probably a better life decision than this.
You gotta set the boundaries.
An almost 20-year age difference is crazy though, because like, I mean, you know, you're gonna be like 40 and your spouse is gonna be dying. That's not true. 60-year-olds are fine. But like, you're gonna be so much like different, you know. Anyway, I don't know. Once you're 60, it's like, who cares? 80-year-old, 60-year-old, I can't tell the difference.
Right. No, there is no difference. Yeah, you gotta shut this down. You gotta be brave. I know you are still imagining, you're dreaming of a meet cute in the copy room, like in 500 Days of Summer. It's not gonna happen.
But that movie ended horribly.
That movie did end. Well, it ended on a high note. He was like, "What about I met a girl named Autumn now, and Autumn. Summer was over." You don't want this, John. You don't want this, John. Listen to me. You got to think with this. This one, I'm pointing to my head. Okay, please.
Yeah, man.
Dude, just. Oh, I'm just begging you. This could go so wrong. You could lose your job.
What's wrong with the girl that you asked out already, man?
I know.
What's wrong?
Oh, she only had 7 kids, and she was 39. Yeah, right? I couldn't get into it.
He's trying to set up a singing group.
Yeah, she didn't have any varicose veins on her legs. So,
dude, 40-year-olds are not that old. What are you? She hasn't got arthritis yet.
Yeah, yeah. She knows how to use an iPhone intuitively. So I can't date her.
Oh man, we just got to be careful what we say about 40-year-olds. We're gonna get text messages.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Man, all right. Next question, I guess. Holy cow!
I can't believe you didn't pre-screen. I wish we could have.
ChatGPT was so funny on that one. I was like, "There's no way that's true. There's no way that's true," but it was.
Oh man. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this. Patrick, do you know the biggest plight of the young man in America today?
They learned how to code and now all those big fancy companies are laying people off?
No, it's that Sabrina Carpenter's music is not for them.
She really is. She's sponsored by Samsung, which makes sense because she is the Samsung version of Taylor Swift. I've always said this.
I think men and women, anyone who studies coding, predominantly men, for better or for worse, anyone who studies coding and gets out into the job market and finds, you know what, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, they deserve a second shot. And thankfully,
they deserve better.
One of the sponsors of this show, Patmos Hosting Solutions, patmos.tech, They're looking for young, inspired Catholic men or women. The men thing was just to get the show started.
This is a joke.
This is just a joke. Men or women that have any type of software background that are looking to work for a company that is growing, that is moving fast, that helps people all over the globe take care of their data, host their websites, protect them from big tech and big censorship. And I think people who listen to The Crunch are a right fit. What do you think?
I think so. If you're tired of working for a tech company that has, you know, ping pong tables in the lobby and also donates money to Planned Parenthood, just on the side, you should try it. You should check out patmos.tech. Put your knowledge to good use here.
Thank you to Patmos Hosting Solutions for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to patmos.tech or reach out to me or Patrick on Discord because we know the guy that founded it. So if you want to send us your resume, we can forward it along for you.
Yeah, we'll slide it in there.
That's what we're here for. Okay, back to the episode.
All right, this one comes from AAA. All
right.
Question.
Yep.
A neat woman moved next door to me not too long ago. We were introduced the other day. I thought we meshed pretty well, bonding over shared interests. I invited her to a function on Friday evening. She said she'd come a bit late because of another commitment. I believe we're both in our mid to late 20s. I mean, I know I am. We're both working. What I want to know is, what are the odds she's dating someone and just being friendly? She just moved into town the last couple of months. I have no reason to believe she's in a relationship. I'm awful at gauging if someone is interested in me romantically or just being friendly. So I wanted some extra input. Even if I don't know for sure one way or another, I still intend to ask her out. Perhaps as early as Friday. I'd just like someone else to tell me whether I'm a shoo-in or if my monkey brain is reading too much into this. Thanks. What do you think, Dr. Ethan?
A woman moved in next door to me. We were bonding over shared interests. I invited her to a function, and she said she would come even though she had another commitment. That's not something someone who has a boyfriend does, I think. Like if Emma, like I'm imagining Emma moving into an apartment and meeting a guy, and they like, maybe he's a nurse also, and he says, hey, I'm going to this party on Friday night. Do you want to come? She'd be like, no, thanks. Or she would say, can my boyfriend come? You know?
Or I have a commitment.
Or I have a commitment, and I'm not, I can come after my commitment.
Yeah.
So in my mind, you're fairly safe here. Like if she's agreed to come and you seem to hit it off, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Although you might have a sitcom moment where it's like, you see that episode of Seinfeld where George asks out the waitress and they're like going on a walk through the park and he's like talking about, I don't know, watches or something. And she's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend has a watch just like that. And he's just like, so confused. He's like, what did she think this was? That could happen to you, but I don't think it will. So just relax, have fun. Don't stress out.
Who goes for a walk? You're walking. I don't know.
She was flirting with him too. It's kind of crazy. And then she agreed to the walk. I don't know.
She agreed to the walk, Jerry. All right. Yeah.
You're doing all right. This is good. I'm happy for you. Have fun at the function. Please don't call it. Just say party, please. Just say party.
That's what the kids call it these days.
No.
They're at the function.
We called it the function in college. Eight years ago.
I'm pretty sure that guy's in college.
No, he's mid to late 20s. He's our
age.
Mid to
late 20s people. Oh, okay.
Don't call it the function, bro. No, don't call it the function.
I'm pro function. All right. This one comes from
going to the sandbox with all the neighborhood toddlers and calling it going to the function.
Going to the church potluck. Going to donuts after mass and calling it the function.
Yes.
Crab Rangoon for the pod, back. If you want. Thoughts on jobs?
No.
Providing for a family financially. My boyfriend makes enough for himself plus a little extra. I don't make much. My mom often talks about financial responsibility in relationships and how you have an obligation to make enough to provide for your family. Should couples consider job changes in light of potential family life? I don't think you should both end a relationship. I don't think you should end a relationship because you both don't make a lot. But also, it's a conversation worth having. Thoughts about this? Thanks. Crab Rangoon.
Patrick, I think you should take this one.
Oh, yeah?
I think you'll have good thoughts on this.
I do have some thoughts on this. If your husband makes enough for yourself plus a little extra, and like that little extra is, you know, you and your kids, I think it's fine if you don't make a ton of money in your field. What your mom seems to be thinking is that financial responsibility in relationships, it's like you have to be able to provide for your family too. And I don't know. That's just like a burden that I'm happy to take off my wife. You know, I want to be able to do that, and I work extra hard to do it. And I'm also in a privileged position where I can. And so like if you have those three things, like you want to do it, you know, you can do it. And, you know, it's like, I forgot the third thing was, but I think it's a good idea. If you want to work, it's like fine, you know?
Yeah.
Just recognize, don't imagine like, oh, I can, you know, I can do this without any kind of hardship. You know, once kids come into the picture, you're going to have some kind of cost to your job or to the family or to, you know, and there's something, you know, there's going to be some exchange there. Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, take your mom's advice whole cloth on this and be like, yes, there is one way to organize the finances of a household. It's just, there's no one way to do it, I don't think.
Yeah, there's no one way to do it. I think as the man, you should work towards being able to be the sole provider so that if your wife wants to stay home and not work, she can. I think coming in and saying you have to stay home and not work is probably not a great recipe for success in 99% of marriages and relationships. I think as the woman, if you're not married, do whatever you want. If you want to make a lot of money, go for it. If you don't and you just want to make enough to live off of, that's fine too. Once you are married, your finances become one. So it's no longer his job or her job. It's like, what do we need to do to take care of our family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so your point of like, should you consider job changes? I would say yes. Like if you're in a job, like let's say you're both working at 7-Eleven. It's like, okay. And you get married. It's like, great. I'm glad you've gotten married. Probably time to consider doing something a bit more valuable, you know?
Yes. There might be something that can make you more money. Yeah.
Something that is long-term, especially for the guy. I think you should set yourself up to be able to have a career that lasts a long time. I also think that the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so that's the mindset that I try to come from is I'm not just building something for myself. I'm not just building something for my wife. I'm not just building something for my children. I'm trying to build something that's going to last for when I'm gone. And that's kind of how I view work. It's not like, oh, do we have enough? It's like, how can I build something that will last well beyond me? I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying your boyfriend has to do that. But I think we live in a very unique time where you actually do get a lot of say in how much you make, which is just not true in a lot of the world and throughout a lot of history. And so to me, it feels wrong to not take advantage of that.
I came to that head, you know, where I was like, oh, I asked for a raise that I needed. It wasn't mm-hmm. like a raise that I just kind of wanted. It was like mm-hmm. my rent doubled and I asked for a raise and I got the answer no. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh
yeah.
Oh, I never want to do that again. Yeah. I was like, I never want that to happen ever again forever. And so that experience made me go, all right, cool. Well, you know, we need this much. And so I'm just going to go get it. And so that was really what pushed me. And I don't think that I would have developed the skills that I did if I hadn't been in a situation where I was like, I have to do this. I have mm-hmm. to do this. There's no, you know, like, oh, maybe I could have done, you know, decided exits on the side while I had to be in.
You got to go all in. You got to burn the ships.
You got to go all in. And sometimes they burn on their own, but yeah, I do think that's, you know, if you're in a position where you're like, wow, my job isn't paying for me, like you can whine and ask for more. You can do that. Sometimes I'll say yes. I mean, you can, you know, find videos on how to ask for a raise and all that. And you can complain on Twitter that, you know, these types of workers, we should pay people more in nonprofits and all this stuff. Like you can say those things. But at the end of the day, you can't, you have to take action. And so like, and I would say that onus is more on the man than it is on his wife to do that.
Yes.
Because she's just biologically preoccupied.
She's, she's built different.
Children. Quite literally. I mean, it's the we skip over that part of people talk about the childbearing pain, right, in Genesis 3, but we skip over that part that says, "And you, Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread." It's like you are supposed to work. And that's not incidental to him being a man. It's like St. Paul says that women are saved by their childbearing because that's the punishment of the fall. It's like, so men, you're saved by your work. Ooh, don't tell the problem. Sorry. You know what I mean? Like you are sanctified by your work. Specifically, men are in a particular way sanctified by their work. And so it's like, you know, if your work isn't, think about it from like a farming perspective. You're like, oh man, this ground isn't bringing forth grain. Rotate the crops, dude. I don't know what to tell you. You got to
get some beans in there.
Get some beans, you know, legumes. You got to make something different. I'm gonna close these tabs that say men's sexy pharaoh costume.
No, leave it up. Leave it up. What are you afraid of?
Before I like pull up my laptop for a presentation at work.
is the sexy pharaoh arousing passions in you that you wish were not being aroused?
Are no, I just don't want the little
feelings that you've
icon
never
next
had
to
before. I'm just like watching Prince of Egypt, being like, "Oh, I don't know."
Oh boy.
Okay. That's it for the questions on this podcast.
And we are going to do a bonus question on our bonus show. So we're going to add an extra. If you want more Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, we're going to give you another Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner question on the bonus show. So sign up for $10 a month or more. You get access to all the bonus shows we've ever done. And going forward, our bonus Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. So
bonus Dr.
Patrons, this might be a good time. If you want to ask a question, maybe not full show, but it's a juicy one, send it to us and we'll do it on the bonus show.
And certainly we have a lot to choose from. So go to patreon.com/thecrunch, join $10 a month and up. Thank you to the sponsors of this episode, Patmos Hosting Solutions and the Well-Ordered Family. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Tune in next week where I show up in my freshly ordered, it'll show up in a couple days, men's sexy pharaoh costume.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.